It's Thursday, September 27. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News. Here's what's coming up.
Tonight, LRAD sonic weapons to be deployed throughout America. Then...
we got Obama phone.
Yes, everybody in Cleveland know my noise. Got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know.
Okay. Plus, another bizarre TSA freeze drill is caught on camera, and how the games are fixed with guest Brian Toohey. Don't go crying in your Wheaties. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly.
Top story tonight, LRAD sonic weapons to be deployed throughout America for crises. This is Infowars.com. The US Air National Guard has purchased $500,000 worth of portable LRAD acoustic systems, which are commonly used by police to quell protests and civil unrest, ensuring that the sonic weapons will be deployed, quote, throughout America during upcoming national emergencies and other crises. With this order, LRAD systems will be in use by every major force of the Department of Defense, Tom Brown, president and CEO of LRAD, told Government Security News. The Air National Guard will be deploying the LRAD 100X systems throughout the country to support and assist civil authorities in the event of severe natural or man-made disasters. And of course, what they don't tell you in this article is the fact that LRAD devices, these sound cannons, are routinely used to disperse protesters because they are nothing less than torture devices. As you can see from the clips embedded in this Infowars.com article, these LRADs emit this high-pitched sound which actually causes physical sickness and forces people to evacuate the immediate area. They can also, under certain circumstances, cause epileptic seizures and even death. And the long-term problems which are caused by these devices include damage to brain tissue, cardiovascular and central nervous system damage, as well as a whole plethora of other goodies. So the cover in this story is basically that the deployment of these systems throughout America, and that's their word, throughout the whole country, is simply for, you know, communication during natural disasters. But the only time they've actually been used domestically inside America, I mean, these are routinely used to, you know, hunt down Somali pirates or insurgents in Afghanistan, but the only time they've been used domestically is to crush the First Amendment. In Pittsburgh, which was the first time that the LRAD was used in America, this is back in 2009, the cops actually rolled around the residential neighborhoods of people who weren't even involved in the G20 protests, basically just testing it out and torturing them with it. We've got the photos of that on Infowars.com. Of course, Rob Dew was there. He was covering it as an Infowars.com reporter. And then also in 2009, the sheriff's office in San Diego actually got the police to roll out one of these LRADs to be used against people attending a town hall meeting. It wasn't even a demonstration. They were just going to a town hall meeting to air their views. This, of course, was during the Tea Party uprising back in 2009 with all those scenes of scuffles and everything, raised voices, anger at all these town hall meetings. So they actually rolled out an LRAD torture device for a town hall meeting in San Diego. But now they're telling us it's for communication purposes. They're just going to put them throughout the country. So it's more preparation for the civil unrest, which, going by the amount of bullets that the Department of Homeland Security has purchased, is definitely coming, and it's going to be very fruity indeed. Of course, we've got the re-education camps, the Army Civil Disturbance Program, which talks about going in and shooting American protesters, political dissidents. We've got the Homeland Security patrols. We've got the special headgear being developed for U.S. troops, again, for, quote, Homeland Security patrols. And the biggest preppers out there are the government and the Army, and they're prepping for domestic disorder on a grand scale. And this LRAD story ties right into that. Bizarre TSA freeze security drill caught on camera. This is another Infowars.com story picked up by the Drudge Report today. The TSA's bizarre new policy, where it orders travelers who have already passed through security to freeze on command, has been caught on camera. with a clip illustrating once more how the federal agency has implemented a series of ludicrous policies that seemingly have no other purpose than to act as an obedience test for the travelling public. Let's go to the clip.
Stay right where you are. Stay right there.
So there you see the last 20 seconds of this absurd TSA drill. Basically, they yell at everybody to freeze. Everybody does, apart from one guy who's strolling through the airport. The TSA goon says, stop right where you are. And this is after they've already passed through security. This is supposedly the secure area of the airport. And they're basically stood there like statues, you know, like children playing some warped version of Simon Says, until the uniformed goon tells them it's okay to move again. And it's all completely pointless, as everything is with the TSA, if you look at it from their perspective. Do you really think a terrorist is going to want to make himself stand out from the crowd by not freezing? No, he's going to freeze too, like everybody else. So from that security perspective, it's completely moronic, like everything they do. And though the TSA has actually tried to avoid talking about it, they're remiss to go on the public record about it. It actually came out through different questions by mainly a New York Times writer. Its code name is Bravo Sierra, or BS for short. Isn't that ironic? And they basically admitted to New York Times writer Joe Sharkey that this is a quote, passengers are not required to freeze in place like statues, from TSA spokeswoman Kristen Lee. So they have no power to enforce it, and it serves no rational purpose whatsoever, except when you understand that everything the TSA does, from punishing those who opt out of the naked body scanner with more invasive grope downs, punishing reporters who speak out against the TSA, you know, testing drinks inside the airport after passengers have already passed through security. Everything they do is about obedience training. They're breaking Americans in, you know, like you would with a horse. It's about how much people will put up with. This is about making you obey no matter how bizarre the order is. And in fact, our own InfoWars reporters, Aaron Dykes and Rob Dew, experienced this very same ridiculous policy firsthand last year. I think it was earlier this year, actually, when they were traveling through Austin Bergstrom Airport. So let's roll the clip.
From where I am, over here. Hello. Safest place for you to be is on this side, right now.
Makes no sense.
Just a little bit of patience. I understand you have places to go, but let's make sure that you can.
Your safety's a joke.
Pardon me?
Your safety's a joke, man.
That's your opinion, you're entitled to it. I don't know.
That's right.
Almost wrapping up. Okay, folks, thank you. Appreciate it.
Of course, nothing actually going on, just freaking out as Austin just put in body scanners, so it's kind of a new level.
TSA action. What a joke.
So basically, if we put up with this, then we'll start to see Americans put up with everything. I mean, I did a satirical piece earlier in the week based off a South Park episode where the TSA is conducting cavity searches at public restrooms in fast food restaurants. And some people thought it was real. It's got so bad with the TSA that people can actually entertain the plausibility that TSA goons would carry out anal probes in restaurants. That's how bad it's got. And so for this reason, amongst many others, we're launching our exciting new campaign, Opt Out and Film Week, which is going to run during Thanksgiving week, November 19 to 26. And it's basically about opting out of the chat downs, the drinks test, the ridiculous freeze policy, the body scanners, all of it. Because the TSA admits that nobody's forced to do it. Nobody has to do it. They just do it because it's obedience training. It's dog training, it's horse training, whatever you want to call it. So it's about opting out and filming the grope downs. You know, stop being victims of obedience slave training and reclaim your right to privacy and your First Amendment. Because the TSA, again, admits on its own website it's not illegal to film them. So let's get in their faces, shine the light of exposure on how these cockroaches behave on a daily basis. And the answer to it all is not just don't fly, which is what a lot of people say over and over again every time we do a TSA piece, because the TSA are expanding everywhere. Highways, bus stations, political events, music concerts, even high school prom nights. So you don't just hand over your right to travel freely, you know, your right to mobility. That's giving in. That's not victory. That's giving them what they want. The answer is not just to stop flying. The answer is to stand up, get back in their faces, opt out, civil disobedience, and actually film what's going on with the TSA takeover. So you can get more information about that campaign at Infowars.com. More TSA news now. TSA goon caught stealing iPad by ABC News blames his wife. When ABC News decided to investigate reported spate of thefts by TSA officers of passenger belongings, its news team purposefully left an iPad behind at a checkpoint in Orlando Airport. Barely 2 hours later, the device was tracked to the home of a TSA screener who then blamed his wife for the theft when confronted. And so, this video, they basically go to the guy's home, they confront him. He lies, claims his wife brought the iPad home. They tell him they've got footage of him stealing the iPad on a security tape. They've installed a tracking app on the iPad. That's how they're able to locate it to his house. And he basically just shuts the door in their face. He's been caught. And again, it all goes back to the point that TSA has nothing to do with security. TSA is actually harmful to real security because it's admitted that they don't conduct background checks on employees. I mean, this is why you have such a large contingent of TSA employees who apply for the job, simply because it puts them in the position of being able to grope people and steal things. They deliberately hire paedophiles and criminals. I mean, that's why you get constant stories of TSA goons, you know, stealing laptops, stealing cash, stealing jewelry, not to mention the sexual harassment and assault. Because almost every week there's a story like this. Almost every week there's a story about, you know, a TSA agent being a child molester or being, you know, caught having a stash of kiddie porn. And these are the people that the federal government is empowering to man Checkpoint USA. Highways, musical concerts, political events. They were at the Mitt Romney event, the Paul Ryan event. They were at the RNC, the DNC, you know, high school prom nights. Where's it going to end? You can't just get... Not flying is not a solution when they're out at every public event. It's not a solution. And so this is why you've got to stand up in unison. You've got to counter the obedience training. You've got to counter the thugs that they hire because they've got no proper practice for background checks. And you've got to get on board with this opt-out and film campaign that we've got going, because there's a chance that the Republicans could defund this after November. They've already got major airports kicking out TSA screeners, replacing them with private security. And this is exactly what John Meeker said, the chair of the House Transportation Committee. This is the tip of the iceberg. It's an outrage to the public, outrage to the aviation system. So the Republicans, whether they follow through on it, are making noises about defunding the TSA, which is why this campaign arrives at the perfect time for everybody to get on board and try and bash that final nail in the coffin of this loathed federal agency that's just come to represent everything that's gone rotten about America since 9/11. Obama voter says, vote for Obama because he gives a free phone. And this clip pretty much speaks for itself. So let's roll the clip.
Obama. You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
He's gonna do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you're on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey.
And of course, these were the same people who told us back in 2008 They were overjoyed to tell us that Obama was going to pay their mortgage and fill up their cars with gas. Remember that clip? Let's go to it again.
I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop crying.
Now, this is one of those stories, one of those videos that, you know, after you've managed to stop yourself laughing, the awful truth sinks in, which is that this is the face of dependency on big government. This is the 47% that's being talked about who will, you know, just vote for anybody, vote for whoever gives them the most free stuff at taxpayer expense. And this is a confirmed program. People on food stamps, or fool's stamps, as this woman calls them, people on benefits, they can actually go to the government and not only get a free phone, but also get, you know, free minutes, free call packages. And who foots the bill? Of course, the hardworking, tax-paying American citizen. And it's a shining example of how dependency is used to exploit dumb people, their votes. Because under Obama, the poor have only got poorer. Poverty levels have increased. Obama didn't pay for your mortgage. He bailed out the mortgage companies, the predatory lenders, and then the Federal Reserve ordered them not to lend. He's not paying your mortgage. He didn't pay for your gas, did he? He paid for General Motors to ship your jobs over to China. He allowed Ben Bernanke to engage in QE infinity, driving up gasoline prices, driving down the value of the dollar. And the only people benefiting from Obama and the Federal Reserve's economic holocaust are the super rich who are invested in the stock market. And the gap between rich and poor has never been greater than under Obama. The fraction of growth for the top 1% grew at 95% under Obama, compared to 65% under Bush. Obama has completely screwed the poor. But forget all that. Obama gives free phone. That's what it's all about, apparently. While their entire economic future has been sold down the river, these people have allowed their votes to be purchased for the cost of a free phone and some free texts and call minutes. So as I said, once you get over the hilarity of the video, the sober reality of what it represents really starts to hit home. Now we're going to go to David Ortiz, who went with Dan Bidondi to a national End the Fed rally in San Antonio this past weekend, talked to some of the protesters, talked to some of the regular people on the street. So let's hear what they had to say. Here's a clip.
End the Fed! End the Fed! End the Fed! End the Fed! End the Fed!
As the U.S. economy continues to falter, a growing number of Americans are primarily blaming the Federal Reserve for the downturn. Recently, thousands of Americans gathered at various Federal Reserve locations nationwide to draw attention to this organization's polarizing practices as part of the National End the Fed rally. In San Antonio, over 50 protesters participated in the event, which included a half-mile march from the Federal Reserve building to the Alamo, where literature was then handed out to members of the public.
Well, the Federal Reserve has devalued the dollar 95% since its birth in 1913, and it continues to print money out of thin air, not backing it by any metal like gold or silver like it should be, and that continues to devalue our dollar. A partial audit of the Fed in July of 2011 showed $16 trillion in banker bailouts across the world, and the American people never got to vote on this, and this was only a partial audit of the Federal Reserve. I wonder what a full one would turn out.
President Woodrow Wilson stated that creating the Federal Reserve was a decision he greatly regretted. Currently, Ron Paul's audit the Fed bill is in the Senate and has over 30 co-sponsors. However, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has surprisingly stated he will not put the bill up for a vote, despite the fact that in past years he has heavily criticized the Federal Reserve. President Barack Obama rarely, if ever, talks about this issue. However, Mitt Romney has stated he does support the audit the Fed bill. Now, do you think the Republicans will keep their promise to audit the Fed and reintroduce the gold standard if elected?
Seeing what they did in Tampa and what they did at our state convention, that they're not going to keep any promises. So if they somehow miraculously do get elected as president, they will not keep that promise. I mean, if you look at somebody like our governor, who's a Republican, Rick Perry, he says one thing and does another. I mean, he may say Constitution and Liberty in a speech, but when it comes down to TSA and touching my daughter, he's all for it. So I doubt, I highly doubt they will get elected, and I know for a fact they will not keep that promise.
Now, what are your thoughts on the fact that the media doesn't cover this event?
I think it's not surprising, but, you know, we did have coverage 2008, 2009. We had local media out here for End the Fed rallies, and they really did a good job of portraying us. And then around that time, the audit, the Fed bill actually does pass the House, and the media hasn't really come out since. The local media hasn't really covered it. So I think because, you know, the public is starting to make a difference and starting to make a headway in getting the Federal Reserve audited and possibly end it. So I don't think they really want to help that grassroots movement grow any more than it already is.
A Rasmussen poll taken earlier this year revealed that 50% of those questioned are confident in the U.S. banking system, while 47% lack confidence in the system. Another poll taken earlier this year revealed, however, that 58% of Americans believe the Fed will not be able to keep inflation under control. According to protesters, it is important that citizens continue drawing attention to this cause.
And that, and then also the process of educating the public and informing the public on what the Federal Reserve really is really beneficial, because then it just adds more people are going to put the pressure on the government. And, you know, it's a process the New World Order uses, pressure from above and pressure from below. And we got to use those tactics in our move to end the New World Order, to fight back this Illuminati banker scheme. We have to use pressure from above and pressure from below. And I think by understanding that, we can make a difference and defeat this New World Order and cut it at the root with the Federal Reserve.
Always fighting on behalf of liberty. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Pennsylvania high school band commemorates Russian Revolution. Citizens outraged. This is out the New American. Pennsylvania's New Oxford High School marching band stirred controversy earlier this week after a halftime show that commemorated the Russian Revolution included olive military-style uniforms and giant hammers and sickles. There was an immediate public outcry against the performance, prompting the superintendent to issue an apology for the display. Additionally, the band has reportedly made significant changes to the halftime show. No more hammers and sickles. The theme for the New Oxford High School marching band was St. Petersburg 1917. The band's performance featured red flags, military uniforms, and giant hammers and sickles. An angry parent notified Fox News to alert them to the school's antics. The parent, who asked not to be identified, attended a football game at the school with his children on September 14th and was appalled by the performance he witnessed. He told Fox News, "It was Glee meets the Russian Revolution. I'm not kidding you. They had giant hammers and sickles. They were waving them around. Who thought this was a good idea?" So you've got to ask serious questions about who is running the education system, who's running these schools, when they think it's okay to have a ceremony with all the kids involved dressed up in Russian military uniforms celebrating Russian communism, which was responsible for the deaths of over 100 million people. And they're out parading and celebrating the fact. And remember the videos we featured a couple of years back with the school children being forced to sing songs worshipping Obama as some, you know, Christ-returned figure. But then kids who go to school on, you know, Cinco de Mayo or another one of these foreign holidays wearing a T-shirt with the U.S. flag on it or the Constitution on it, you know, they're intimidated, they're treated like scum, but having the kids march around communist military garb in a parade celebrating communism, that's perfectly okay. And it's all about this process of, you know, everything that's good about America, what America is supposed to represent, is made to appear dirty while they exalt Marxism and communism, etc. And just look at the impact it's had. I mean, the last study showed that in just a 4-year period, there was a 36% rise in homeschooling. Just over the course of 4 years, a 36% rise. That was from 2003 to 2007. So parents are pulling their kids out these government indoctrination centers And the homeschool kids are proving their decision to be correct because, again, all the studies show they're smarter, they're better at math, they're better at reading, they routinely win the spelling bees. So again, school in Pennsylvania making kids march around in Russian military communist garb, celebrating a political system that in the past 100 years alone has killed 100 million people. Another great reason to homeschool your kids. Now we're going to go to break, but when we come back, Alex Jones talks to Ryan Toohey about corruption and rigging in modern sports in light of the latest scandal. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Linda West with a special report for Infowars.com. A new DVD has come out by GMO expert and scholar Jeffrey Smith. It's entitled Genetic Roulette. It exposes the shockingly unbelievable connection between the proliferation of GMOs by huge agri-corporations and the huge increase in disease in America.
Things we're seeing today aren't normal. We didn't see them 30 years ago or 50 years ago.
Illnesses that weren't epidemic before are now epidemic.
With this new comprehensive information, we can finally solve the mystery between the rising disease, cancer, allergies, Alzheimer's, premature aging, and even autism.
I'm concerned about all the health issues that I'm seeing, but the one that I am most alarmed about is autistic spectrum, which is literally skyrocketed.
We can't say for sure that GMOs have anything to do with autism, but we can't say for sure that it doesn't. In fact, there's been an increase in autism since GMOs were introduced, and animals that eat GMOs, both in laboratory and in livestock situations, have shown some telltale signs that some practitioners say are linked with autism.
Jeffrey Smith has done the scientific research that finally reveals the truth about GMOs that big agri-corps and the government has tried so hard to cover up. This food conspiracy is making them billionaires and us sick.
He said he lost about 90% of his miniature steers. What the problem was is I guess he said that they weren't able to process the food correctly and they would bloat up and die from it.
Now that we have the real information, we can make changes. Now we know exactly why diseases are on the rise, surgeries are on the rise, and so many small minds are being stolen from autism. I know today we all have a lot on our plate. But what's on our plate today is killing us. This is Linda West wishing your family a happy and healthy future.
Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at Infowars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. Infowars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at Infowars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. My friends, Alex Jones here with a very important announcement. We are launching a new salvo in the InfoWar because there is a war on for your mind. You know that the globalists are trying to get everybody online and only online so that they can control and surveil information and also erase books, videos, whatever they want to en masse. That's why we're launching our answer to the internet kill switch, InfoWars Magazine. The first issue, we printed over 90,000 copies of the September issue, and it sold out in less than 2 days. So get your copy of the new Technocratic Elite issue today before it sells out. Again, we cover from the technocratic social engineers' own words, their own admissions, their plan to take over our society and replace us with robots. But we don't just stop with the rise of the robots and the end of humanity, or will humanity survive the singularity? We get into the government buying now 1.6 billion bullets against the American people. We get into Big Sis's surveillance of this magazine and my website, InfoWars.com. We cover QE3 and what hyperinflation means to you and your family. Whatever you do, don't look back later and wish that you would have taken action. Take action now. People have never been more ready for this information. People have never been this hungry, starving for the truth. And it is contained in the new issue of InfoWars Magazine. This is a time capsule. It is so important we get it out to everyone. If you subscribe now for 12 issues, we will give you the first issue absolutely free. So that's 13 issues for our 13 colonies, part of restoring the spirit of 1776 worldwide. Again, go to InfoWarsStore.com and order 10 packs, up to 100 packs at cost, and give them out to people in your area. The response last month was incredible. People are hungry to actually hold this information in their hands. You can also subscribe and get 12 issues delivered to your door and get the first inaugural issue free. I'm Alex Jones, thanking all of you for your support and making our operation a huge success.
And welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. You know that I don't talk about sports a lot because I'm aware of the fact that historically in the ancient Mayan Aztec kingdom, but also in Rome and in most other civilizations, sports has been used as a tool of dehumanization and political control. I mean, my children win blue ribbons almost every weekend on the swim team. I played football. I was in track and field. I think it's great to be in sports. And if it hadn't become so Romanesque and decadent, I wouldn't be against going to a baseball game or football game. But it's gotten very, very sick where it's downright unmanly to be informed about politics, what's happening in the world. But it's really trendy and cool to be completely obsessed with sports. Now, we've seen a lot of cases out there of gambling in sports, insider deals. Everybody knows about professional boxing being a joke. That's why the sport's in so much trouble. But what's happening in the NFL? What's happening in other areas like that? Brian Toohey has been on hundreds of radio and TV shows. He's an expert on Fox Sports. New York Times have sought out his views on things, and he's got an amazing book. In fact, I can't put it down. The Fix is In, Showbiz, the Showbiz Manipulation of the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, and NASCAR, and more. And he goes over it. And he's going to break down in the next 30 minutes just how deep the rabbit hole goes, because it's not just frauds about lies about WMDs in Iraq. It's not just frauds concerning stimulus money being given to insiders. It's frauds in sports as well. And being naive about this is what has allowed this corruption to spread and spread and spread. And so joining us is Brian Toohey of thefixisin.net here on the Nightly News Show. Brian, where should we start? We've got the big controversy with the refs, but really that's the tip of the iceberg. Where should we start for people that aren't aware of this or maybe think that, hey, it's a conspiracy theory that Don King, you know, who runs both boxers and fights, would do anything wrong? I mean, he's a nice man.
Well, I think what it is you have to ask yourself a simple question. Would you leave a multi-billion dollar industry up to chance? Because this is exactly what fans think the owners of professional sports leagues do. But the fact is, the owners control everything that surrounds their sports. And in fact, they control the media that covers the sports, who actually even fund professional sports. So why would we think that they don't actually reach down and manipulate what occurs out on the field? Because the fact is, if they did this, they would generate more fan interest, they would get higher TV ratings, more ad revenue, and thus make more profit. And the scary thing is, and the one thing I think everybody should walk away from this interview remembering is that it's not illegal for the leagues to fix their own games.
Well, give us some historical examples of this. I mean, your book breaks down the fact that this is on record quite a bit, and you know, the public that sees the NFL especially as their religion. I mean, this is like telling them Jesus doesn't exist.
Well, in a way it is, but just think of it this way. If the league, like the NFL, which is an employer, asks its employees, the referees, for example, to call a game a certain way, to call certain fouls or not call certain fouls, or to give certain players more room to operate, they are manipulating games. They can control these games. They can control how long these games last. They can control what penalties are called. They can really manipulate the games, and I believe they can manipulate their outcomes. And I think with the NFL, it started way back with Super Bowl III, because it was a business deal, basically, when the original AFL and the NFL were about to merge. Fans didn't believe in the AFL. They thought it was, you know, sub-level football, basically, compared to the National Football League. And I believe they allowed Joe Namath and the Jets to win Super Bowl III in order to legitimize the league. And it brought literally billions of dollars of profits to all the owners when that occurred.
Well, we know organized crime has been on top of sports since the days of illegal boxing. But, I mean, you're telling me that when you've got billions of dollars betted every month that there might be corruption? I mean, next you're going to tell me the sun's coming up tomorrow.
Well, just think of it this way. The last estimate that was done on illegal sports gambling in the United States was 1999, and that estimated anywhere from $80 billion to $380 billion is wagered illegally on professional sports or on sports every year. And now that's the low estimate. The $80 billion is nearly four times what all the major professional sports leagues earn in a year. So that amount of money, which is all controlled basically by organized crime, has to have some sort of influence upon the game. And I've talked to numerous members of, you know, the sports gambling community, be it gamblers, be it bookmakers, even FBI agents, and all of them have told me that it's no doubt that games are being fixed. Just proving it is nearly impossible.
You mean there's organized bad people working together? I thought conspiracies didn't exist. I mean, the FBI director before Congress, what, in 1952... J. Edgar Hoover said there was no such thing as organized crime. And of course, I'm being sarcastic here. The naivete is still just amazing. I hear sports fans arguing about there's no way they fix this or fix that. But what are some of the ways they do it? I mean, they can go to the players individually and get them to, you know, shave points or whatever. Break that down for us. They can target refs individually, or they can do it through the owners. I mean, what are some of the ways that we know they, I mean, famously Pete Rose and people have been caught doing stuff. I mean, what are some of the other examples of how we know this is being done?
One of the things I obtained in my research was a video that was put together by the FBI and the NBA. And I obtained it through Freedom of Information Act. And in watching the video, which is about 30 minutes long, and a lot of it is redacted, but what I've seen is that they know that games have been fixed and they just haven't made it public. And what they do is these organized crime members, they basically get to the players. And that's one thing the mob has always been able to do, is to get to people. They find their weakness, be it a player who has, you know, drinking problems, be it they have gambling problems, they maybe have women problems, or even perhaps, you know, they may be homosexual even. And that's one of the things you can't even name a homosexual athlete that's currently in the league right now. Well, what if they got compromising photos of that player? It'd be very easy to get him to do what you want to make sure those photos didn't go public. And the same thing with the referees. The referees today, even though they have, you know, this big controversy over the replacement referees, the current referees make $8,000 a game for the NFL. In the NFL, illegally, anywhere between $1 and $4 billion is wagered on NFL games each week. So if you wanted to approach a referee, maybe who's got some money problems, like the Tim Donaghy example in the NBA, it'd be very easy to offer him $50,000, $100,000 to fix the game and then go bet millions in this illegal gambling market, because no one monitors this illegal gambling market. No one at all. Not the FBI, not the leagues, not even the gamblers themselves. It's just a free-for-all out there.
Well, I go back to this, studying history itself. In every culture, from the Japanese, you know, right through to the Romans, right through to the Aztecs, there was massive wagering on sporting events, including some of them that were gladiatorial, where people died. And there were all sorts of deals made to drug people so they'd lose. I mean, sports has been corrupt from its very beginning. And that's why I just completely turn away from it. I know a lot of people are sports fans and they don't want to believe this, but I mean, what else should people know about this? Because I'm asking the questions here, and you're the expert.
Well, I think people should realize too that it's not just necessarily an independent thing. It actually has a lot of government involvement in professional sports today. I mean, you think about it on the local level, many municipalities give teams tax breaks, they give them free land to build these massive stadiums upon, and then they tax us to pay for these stadiums. And then on the federal level, the leagues offer these, or the governments offer these leagues antitrust exemptions. In fact, Major League Baseball is in effect a monopoly and a one allowed by the United States Congress. And even on top of that, when you get to gambling, right now the state of New Jersey is being sued by the professional sports leagues and the NCAA because the state wants to legalize sports gambling and reap some of the profit from those billions of dollars that are wagered illegally each year. But yet the leagues don't want that. They want to really infringe upon state rights. And that's one thing that I don't think fans understand, is that it is still kind of a government entity, these professional sports leagues.
Well, that's why I like your book, The Fix Is In, because I can show viewers right now the first chapter. You quote Congressman Emanuel Seller saying, "Circuses for the hordes. Pro football provides the circus for the hordes. That's how they see us, is as the hordes." So this, I mean, your book's not just about cases of fraud and things that are proven and, you know, what you've reverse engineered. It's also about the whole psychology of sports and how it is used as the opiate of the masses, as it was used in ancient Rome. So elaborate on that insight and what brought you to this point, and then give us the greatest hits of your book.
Well, it's one of those things where, as a fan, and if you ever listen to sports radio, you hear it all the time. When fans call in, a lot of times they will say "we" as if they're part of the team. You know, "We did really well this weekend, and we really got a good, you know, deal with this player," and et cetera, et cetera. Well, as a fan, you're really not a member of the team. All you do is give money to these teams. You're not a member of them, but people bat what they call bask in reflected glory. They get a little bit of self-worth from these sporting leagues and from these teams by just being a fan of them. So it's almost like a drug, like you said. And the leagues know this, and they can manipulate the people into giving them more and more because they need more and more of this drug. It's something that, you know, a lot of fans, I don't think, stop to think about. And when I finally stopped and thought about it, that's when it changed my whole perception of sports and what's really going on within these leagues. And what I tried to do with the book is lay this out for people, that the leagues lie to us. They flat out lie to us about the drugs that are in the game, be they, you know, illegal drugs or performance enhancing in drugs. They lie to us about the gambling that surrounds the games. They lie to us about the criminals that are playing the games. And I say, if they're lying to us about everything else, are they really being truthful about the games? Because that is their product. That is what they're selling to us. And why are we being so gullible to believe everything that these leagues are feeding us? Because there is no oversight. The ESPNs of the world are funding these leagues, so they have no incentive to reveal the corruption that's going on within them.
Well, take Formula One that they're building outside Austin, Texas, where we originate this television transmission. The fellow that owns all the big circuits around the world, every one of them was paid for by taxpayer money, not just incentives. And that's fine if the people want it. But in poll after poll, the people don't want it. But the cities go along with it just because they get box seats or whatever, or some of their family members get a job. And I, as a true, you know, media business owner, I've tried to get tax incentives for my 50 crew members. I'm laughed at by the city of Austin. I look at Cowboy Stadium, over $1 billion of taxpayer money one way or another. And it's just all a joke. And then I look at the owner of the whole franchise, one guy that controls it, of Formula One. He gave his daughters, he has two of them, $7 billion this year. This is a gift, $4 billion to one, $3 billion to the other. And both of them own two of the biggest houses in the country. And literally, it's my money going so they can be given billions of dollars, and I'm actually employing people. I'm actually a real capitalist, and there's always these ultra-rich crony capitalists in sports, so many of them mob-connected, and I'm just tired of it. I mean, that's why now people try to, hey, man, the game's on. I'm like, look, I hate it. Because I've gone from just knowing it's a distraction to realizing, like you said, it's this false reality. Take the University of Texas, and I want you to comment on Formula One. It's the biggest university in the world. It's always raising tuition. It has less and less services to the people, but it has Bevo and the horns. So you go there to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a degree most of the time you'll never get your money back for. It's a giant scam, but you can be part of the Bevo BS and say, I went to UT. And of course, most of my family went to UT. I'm not against UT itself, but it's a business. It's a scam. And now all it's got is the stupid UT Longhorns. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm ranting on all those subjects.
No, that's okay. You're right. There's no, like, on a local level, there's no economist that has ever proved that a sports team actually benefits the city. Like, when the Baltimore Colts left to become the Indianapolis Colts, the city of Baltimore didn't shut down. I mean, the city of Baltimore, that money that was basically entertainment money just went to other local things, be they, you know, local music, local plays, that sort of thing. Cities don't need these teams to operate. They don't need the revenue because they really don't generate as much revenue as people think. And it's the same, like you said, in college. These people are, the coaches are making millions of dollars, the administrators are making millions of dollars, all of which is, you know, state money, but yet the players, which is what everybody is paying to see, get nothing. They get their, sure, they get, you know, their, they get their college education if most of them stick around for it, but for the most
part, they get to pilfer the cheerleaders and that's about it.
Yeah, they don't get paid to play, but meanwhile, people are making tons of money off of their backs. So when you see potentially, you know, gambling corruption break out in college sports, it only makes sense because it's very easy to approach these kids and say, hey, look, I'll give you $5,000 or $10,000. You don't have to lose the game. You just don't cover the spread. Don't win by as much as we want you to win by. And it's very easy money, and it's very easy money for everybody involved.
And that's why we see these thousands of examples where it's obvious that they fall down. It's obvious they drop the ball. It's obvious they stop short. It's obvious. And at a point, though, when it becomes obvious, like heavyweight boxing, doesn't the, you know, these different sports have the danger of dying or degenerating? And then it goes into something that's, you know, newer and a little bit cleaner, like UFC?
Well, I don't necessarily think the UFC is any cleaner than boxing has been. I mean, people forget, and I didn't even know this until I researched it. Professional boxing was literally controlled by one gangster, a man by the name of Frankie Carbo, from the late 1940s until the 1960s.
Sure.
And he controlled it not just by himself, but by with big businessmen and the influence of, you know, the major TV networks. And what happened there is very similar to what happens in mixed martial arts and the UFC today. You can see that same kind of control. And it'd be very easy to approach a boxer because in boxing or UFC fighting, you only need to get to one guy to fix a match. It'd be very easy to say, hey, look, like they did when, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Raging Bull, which is a true story about boxer Jake LaMotta. Frankie Carbo went to Jake LaMotta and said, look, you lose this fight, we'll get you a title fight down the line. And that's exactly what happened with, you know, the Raging Bull. But I could see it happening today in the UFC. The problem is nobody investigates this stuff. They all want the rah-rah aspect of sports. They
sure, sure. Well, I wasn't implying UFC was as pure as the driven snow, but I've had a chance to be behind the scenes and some of it looks pretty darn real to me. It's just seen as newer and not as corrupt as professional boxing. Is that fair to say?
I would think so. But again, you know, anything's corrupt. I mean, again, what business isn't corrupt on some level? I mean, it exists because the idea of being in business is to make more money. And if you could influence, for example, a UFC fight to get a higher rating or to get more money on their pay-per-view event, well, why wouldn't you do it if everybody involved was profiting?
Now I just started your book 2 days ago and haven't had a chance to read the whole thing. I've read part of it. Again, I'm not just typing this. I'm not selling the book. We probably should carry it at InfoWarsStore.com. In fact, we'll probably talk about that because everything I'm here about is getting people to be skeptic and look behind the curtain, look behind the facade. But going through the rest of the book, what are some of the historical examples of fraud, and which sport that you've researched has the most fraud, or is that unknown?
That's unknown. I think most fans believe the NBA is the most crooked of them all. And I think when you have the example of Tim Donaghy, who basically, after he got busted for gambling on professional basketball, he wrote a book that said, hey, professional basketball isn't what you think. They tell the owners, the league tells the referees how to manipulate these games, and they do it in a very subtle way, but they get the message across. And then you see, you know, certain superstars always wind up in the finals, and it always, you know, winds up being big ratings. But I think to prove that there's a conspiracy within sports and that these things can happen is you have to look back to baseball in the 1980s when all the owners of these teams, who are usually very individualistic type of people, got together and colluded to not pay free agents any money. And they did it for 3 years in a row, but they did it in such an obvious fashion that they were busted for it, they were sued for it, and lost nearly $300 million in a lawsuit against the players' union. But the fact is, these owners could come together secretly with the commissioner and create a plan that says, we're going to make more money. We don't care about wins. We don't care about losses. We don't care about bettering the team. We just care about our bottom line.
From your research, is it the players that get bought off more often? It sounds like you're implying who they really go after is the refs.
Well, the refs are the easiest because they don't make the money, and they're not looked at. And the scary thing is if you're in the media, you can't interview the referees. There's no access to them. They're just out there. They're just basically employees.
So, again, they claim so that they are pure as a driven snow. No one can see what's happening in there, which is the perfect climate for corruption.
Exactly. Because if you can't talk to these people, if you can't ask them, why did you make that call? Why didn't you make this call? How an instant replay when we saw clearly that the guy's foot was in bounds, you ruled him out of bounds. When they're accountable to no one but the league, well, what are you going to do?
And sports is only getting more popular, and as we decline, so why shouldn't they stop? And, you know, you were listing some statistics. Go back over that. How many times larger is the gambling compared to the above-board profit? Because if the gambling's 2, 3, 4, 5 times bigger than the sport itself, the legitimate areas of it, then it just goes to show, of course, it's going to be rigged.
Well, exactly. I believe from 2011, I think the stat was from, the NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball all made a combined like $25 billion. But yet the last investigation of illegal sports gambling in the United States, which dates back to 1999, says the bare minimum illegal amount of money being gambled on these sports is $80 billion. But it could be as high as $380 billion. And when they always talk about, well, you know, Las Vegas and the amount of sports gambling in Las Vegas took in $3 billion last year on sports gambling. That's 1% of all the money that's being gambled within this nation. So it means 99% of it is being done illegally, being done offshore. And again, like I say, no one is monitoring this money whatsoever.
And I've noticed that some of the big mega banks, the same guys that have been caught laundering drug money and things, they're all in this as well. I mean, if you've got hundreds of billions of dollars going around, obviously the establishment is running this whole deal, and that's why they're having taxpayers pay for more of the gladiatorial whorehouses.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, this is huge money. I mean, it's like the legal drug, underground. There's vast amounts of money to be made on all different aspects of this. And nobody, the scary thing is, like I say, is I've investigated sports bribery, which I literally have over 400 FBI files I obtained through the Freedom of Information Act on this. But yet today, you know, the major leagues don't investigate potential gambling problems. The media doesn't investigate them at all. And even the FBI basically has given up the chase. So, I mean, this is just a free-for-all out there.
How bad is it? You talk about seeing over 400 files, having to dead reckon this. I mean, you're probably one of the foremost experts in media because you've been studying it for years. I mean, how bad is it? How many? I mean, is every big game or even just regular season games, are they all rigged one way or another?
The scary part is nobody knows. That's really what frightens me. And I think fixing occurs perhaps on two different levels. I think it can occur on the gambling level, on the organized crime level, where they get to a player or they get to a referee and they manipulate things according to the point spread or the betting line. And then I think on another level, I think the leagues manipulate their own games because I think they see certain storylines, they see certain stars like Tim Tebow emerge, they see things like the New Orleans Saints after Hurricane Katrina, and I think they're willing to piggyback on top of those things and perhaps allow those teams and players to win more often than they should because they recognize the profit. In the NFL, they make nearly $10 billion a season, yet 80% of that money is equally shared among the teams. So even when the New Orleans Saints are doing great, a team that's going, you know, 1-15, like the Detroit Lions, are basically making the exact same amount of money because of so much revenue being shared. So they have an incentive to do this, to fix their own games. And again, they can do this legally, and nobody can stop them.
I think the answer is boycott professional sports until it's cleaned up, until they stop using our taxpayer money to build their coliseums, until they, basically clean it up. But then I don't think that's ever going to happen. So all I know is I'm boycotting it myself. I will have nothing to do with organized professional sports. I'm all about going out and seeing a high school football game. I'm all about going and see my children, you know, at a event. But I am not going to be part of any of the college or professional level garbage.
I don't blame you. I mean, I think if fans want to watch these games, they should look at it as watching a movie. You know, if you want to spend 3 hours watching a football game, that's fine. But I think what they have to remember is, and why part of this is not illegal if the leagues are fixing their own, is there's a lawsuit where a New England Patriots got sued by a New York Jets fan over the whole Spygate scandal. And this went to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in the United States. And they ruled that if you buy a ticket for an NFL game, all the team is legally obligated to do is to provide you with a football game. It doesn't mean it has to be played by any certain rules. It doesn't mean that they can't cheat. It doesn't mean that the game can't be fixed. If you see a football game and you paid for a football game, they're obligated. They've fulfilled their obligation. There's nothing more the league has to do. So, I mean, you can't even sue these leagues for fraud if you wanted to, like, you know, what happened with the last Monday Night Football between the Packers and the Seahawks. You can't sue the league. You can't sue anybody over that outcome, even though it was 100% incompletely wrong.
What's some of the other corruption when it comes to drugs, when it comes to, you know, coaches saying, hurt that guy? I mean, I wasn't even a good football player, but they were, I mean, they liked people in high school that hurt people. I mean, how naive are the fans when I hear them criticizing the Saints and people saying, go hurt that guy? I mean, what planet are these fans living on? I guess they haven't played sports. They haven't played full contact sports then.
No, apparently not. I mean, I think fans have to recognize that even like this New Orleans Saints bounty program, this whole investigation by each league has their own security division. And this is basically their private police force, which is literally staffed with members of the CIA, FBI, Secret Service, DEA, and local law enforcement. And yet you cannot find examples out there, and I've looked for them, you cannot find examples where league security has informed, you know, law enforcement of some sort of, you know, dirty business going on within the league. The only thing that's ever come out lately, the NFL, from the security division is this bounty program, and yet we know that, you know, bounties go on all the time in professional sports. It's not nothing new.
Why did they do that then? Why did they go after the Saints? Was it just kind of like a Martha Stewart thing to act like they're doing something?
Exactly. I think what it came from was this concussion lawsuits that are against them. They have literally about 1,500 ex-NFL players who are suing the league over these concussions because they say the league lied to them about the, you know, effects of head injuries and head trauma and years worth of NFL play. And I think the league now is really concerned about this because it can affect not only their bottom line, but really the future of football in itself. And I think they said, hey, we came out now against these bounties as soon as we found out about it, which I don't think is true, but that's what they say. And we clamped down on it, we stamped it out. And I think now it's all about player safety. It's all about, you know, worried about concussions and high school football players and that sort of thing. But I think it's just the roots. I think they really don't care. I think they see the players as replaceable cogs in the big machine. and that they're going to profit off them no matter what occurs.
Well, no kidding. Look how they treat the troops. Well, that's what I thought just watching it kind of, you know, halfway was you got all this concussion stuff coming up. It's like, well, that was bounties. People only got hurt because it was rogue groups out there. I mean, this is a gladiatorial sport. And by the way, those guys know what they're signing up to. So, I mean, people that are playing hockey, people that are doing all this, look, man, you're getting paid $5 million a year because you're a gladiator. And I think the whole thing's become immoral. I'm not even endorsing it. But then the fact that you're going to act like you don't know being a running back, or you don't know being a linebacker, or you don't know being a quarterback can get your brain damaged, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Well, look, I'm impressed with your book, Brian. I look forward to getting you on the radio show. In the 5 minutes we've got left, you've got the floor to make any other key points that you think is important for the viewers out there.
Well, I think the main thing, like I said, is the fact that you have to realize that this potential fixing of the leagues by themselves, fixing their own games, is not against the law. And I think you have to really concern yourself with what is going on out in the field. You have to wonder what sort of reach these leagues have, because, again, they lie to us about things that surround the game. Why wouldn't they, you know, manipulate their own product? Because if McDonald's, for example, if McDonald's could alter the taste of their hamburger while you're consuming it to make it more enjoyable, they would do that. Well, professional sports can do just that. They can manipulate their own games to make them more enjoyable as you consume them. But yet, we don't think that happens. But there's nothing that protects us from this besides the leagues themselves. They are their own oversight. And I think that's a very scary fact, that if it's not against the law for the leagues to fix their own games, what is preventing them from doing so? And I don't think there's a single thing there is.
Wow. So like you said, the courts have said, hey, it's entertainment purposes only, and then you've got all these little naive, full-grown men in their little jerseys who are in arrested development, who aren't involved politically, aren't involved with their kids. All they do is watch football all day. And then they have, I found most fans I've talked to, if you tell them stuff's rigged, a lot of them just think you're a conspiracy theorist, but it's admitted that a lot of it's rigged. I mean, that's my last question. Talking to different sports fans out there, doing hundreds of radio and TV interviews, talking to the New York Times, you know, being part of all these other interviews, are you finding people are more apt to be skeptical now, or what percentage of people are skeptical?
A lot of people are skeptical of what I have to say, but again, you know, you think about the sports media, they have to be skeptical, because if I tell everybody that sports is a big lie, well, you know, you're out of a job. It doesn't matter that you cover these sports anymore. You have nothing to cover because you're basically covering, you know, Hollywood. And the hardest thing, though, with all this is proving it. Everybody goes, well, prove it, prove it, prove it. Well, the problem is, again, I have 400 files from the FBI where they investigated, you know, fixed boxing matches, horse races, college games, professional games, and the FBI couldn't prove these things because there's no concrete evidence of a fix. That's the genius of the plan, is it's all an under-the-table deal. There's nothing written, like, on league letterhead. There's nothing written on, you know, John Gotti's letterhead that says, hey, fix this game. It's just a very basic agreement that says, we'll pay you this, you do this, and it's all done. And the problem is, for sports fans, is you can't pick up when a player has a bad game, whether that was a bad game done intentionally or a bad game done just because it was a bad game, he had an off day. And that's the problem, is proving this is nearly impossible, which makes it even easier to get away with, because no one's looking for it. No one's looking for the fix. They just assume so-and-so had a bad game, so be it. But nobody says, well, why did he have a bad game? What occurred? What made that happen? How did the guy, all he does all day is throw a football, or all day he catches a baseball, suddenly not be able to throw a football or not catch a baseball? I mean, could it be some sort of outside influence that nobody's looking for?
Well, I mean, that's how corruption in government works, where they all have these boards, and then they have plausible deniability, and then the payoffs are all happening, but they just act like it's legal, and then everybody acts dumb at the end of the day, and then society just degenerates and degenerates. I think the answer is turn away from all of this. Stop giving it your money. Stop giving it your time. Brian, look forward to talking to you on the radio. We'll take calls when we do that. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on today.
All right. Amazing. Can't wait to finish the book. And by the way, guys, let's get this in the InfoWars store. Really important for people to read this, because sports has become an absolute just sickening spectacle in this country. Why don't you go out and get involved in a sport? Even if it's a 2K run or something, sports is about you and your family being healthy and competitive, which is great. Notice public schools have banned dodgeball, banned tag, banned recess running, but sports is all okay. Again, it's absolute crap. Kids can't play outside in their own backyard now. Mama gets arrested, or in the front yard. But you can go watch people run into each other at high velocity and get brain damaged. I mean, it's ridiculous. Thanks to Paul Watson doing another fabulous job on InfoWars news section tonight. And I will be back, Lord willing, tomorrow on the radio, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I'm doing the news and doing the interview tomorrow on InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. Don't forget, we've hired 6 new reporters. We're getting more graphics people. We are moving forward against the New World Order. And we couldn't do this without your support. So if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, there's a 2-week, well, 15-day free trial, more than 2-week free trial. One membership, 6 username and passcodes work with it. So you create a username and passcode that's unique to the site. Share it with your friends and family. Give it as a gift. Give yourself the gift, $5.95, and 6 people simultaneously can log on. That's $1 a month per person, and then that funds our bandwidth and the crew. And it just funds it. So we're here to get the word out and have our own platform. It also then leaks out to YouTube and other channels, millions of viewers a week. We're going to the next level soon to put it up on the satellite and reach people in other ways. Some cable systems are already downloading it each night and re-airing it. We're thankful to them. So we're reaching millions of people with this new operation, now a year old, getting ready to go into high gear here. But again, if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, become one today. Look what we've been able to do so far thanks to your support. And don't forget, it's selling out quickly because I got to hold back quite a few of these for the next 12 months, people that have signed up for subscriptions. So if you're buying these in bulk, in 10 packs up to 100 packs at cost to give to friends and family, the new issue is even more powerful than the first. Be sure and get your bulk orders in now at InfoWarsStore.com or you won't be able to. We printed 100,000 of these and they are going very, very quickly. We sold out in 36 hours last time. And again, we're holding back quite a few of them. I think about 10,000 or so, maybe more, because we're getting so many yearly subscriptions right now. $59.95 for a yearly subscription. That includes shipping. 13 issues. The first issue and the next 12, $59.95. All that goes into this, it breaks down the technocracy, the New World Order, the financial collapse, all of it. InfoWars Magazine, DARPA, the real Skynet, the end of humanity, rise of the robots. This is an emergency transmission. This is our answer to the internet kill switch. You can physically hold it. InfoWarsStore.com. Or if you don't want to order online, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. 24 hours a day, the InfoWars crew is here answering your calls and your orders. And again, we're not like George Soros getting banker bailout money or MSNBC getting a half billion bucks in stimulus taxpayer money to then tell you your guns and your family are scum and the world government's good. And that freedom's bad. They take your money and use it against you. This is free association. Spread the word about the shows, about the radio shows, about PrisonPlanet.com, about InfoWars.com, about our local AM and FM affiliates. Spread the word about the books, the videos. I had that guy on to promote what he's doing. It's all of us in this together, voting with our dollars and voting with our word of mouth. All right, great job to the crew. We'll see you back tomorrow night for more teleprompter-free real news and analysis. Not for entertainment purposes.